Abraham Lincoln had no idea what he was setting in place when he issued his proclamation in 1863, appointing, and I quote, "a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." He couldn't have imagined what Thanksgiving Day was going to be, the sort of great American holiday. Is it more popular than Christmas? The argument goes back and forth, but there's something very American about Thanksgiving that isn't replicated anywhere else. Well, there's food and there's football and there's friends and there's family and all of those kind of things combined together to make it a very special time. But Thanksgiving isn't a weekly experience for those who follow Christ. It's something that's to be ingrained into our lives. Thanksgiving, gratitude, is more significant than we tend to think. Scientists tell us that there is a direct connection between gratitude and joy. That grateful people are the ones who find joy. Brené Brown, who is a researcher, writes, "In 12 years of research and 11,000 pieces of data, I did not interview a single person who would describe themselves as joyful who did not practice gratitude." Gratitude is good for us, and we understand that. There's something about receiving something and being able to say thank you to that person takes it out of being something that's just about me, but there's this expression that's part and parcel of it. And so gratitude becomes something that builds us and brings joy, and the connection that even secularists find between gratitude and a positive view of life and thankfulness in general. Ingratitude produces grumpy people, and many of us have met too many illustrations of that over the years. It's intriguing that it's one thing to know that we're grateful. I think you can get into almost any group of people and ask the question, what are you grateful for? In many cases, they'll be able to express it. What's much rarer is, who are you grateful to? I mean, there's things in life that I can't point to any individual. And who am I grateful to for that? And one of the issues that it's interesting that Abe Lincoln had was it's gratitude to God, who's blessed us in this particular way. And the scriptures are full of calls to gratitude. I want us to look together at one. It's a psalm. It's an interesting psalm. It's different than any other psalm. And I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with it to Psalm 136. Now, let me warn you. In Psalm 136, the same few words are said 26 different times. It's a responsive psalm. It's a psalm in which the leader speaks out the first line, and the congregation follows by repeating the second line. And that's what we're going to do together this morning. I'll read the first line. Let me just read it so you'll know. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." And the congregation repeats, "For his steadfast love endures forever." Now, we have different translations here this morning, but we'll use that refrain. "For his steadfast love endures forever." So let's begin to read. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who alone does great wonders.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who by understanding made the heavens.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who spread out the earth above the waters. To him who made the great lights, the sun to rule over the day, the moon and stars to rule over the night, to him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who divided the Red Sea in two.
For his steadfast love endures
and made Israel pass through the midst of it.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down great kings.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And killed mighty kings with, Sihon, king of the Amorites.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And Og, king of Bashan.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And gave their land as a heritage.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
A heritage to Israel, his servant. It is he who remembered us in our low estate.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And rescued us from our foes.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
He who gives food to all flesh.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. And God's people said, Amen. We've just joined the kind of congregation that would have made their way to one of the great festivals in Israel and stood in the temple courtyard declaiming the great praise. This is a psalm that's called the Great Hallel. Hallel is one of the Hebrew words for praise, to give thanks to God. And it's obviously related special way to the people of Israel, but let's read it and think about it as believers. It begins with this call to give thanks to God. Give thanks, for his steadfast love endures to the God of, give thanks to Yahweh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords. Thanksgiving, first of all, is about who God is and our giving thanks to him. The word that's used here for giving thanks in Hebrew means to make a declaration, to declare it. It's an outward expression, not an inward feeling. Give thanks, verbalize it, make it known. And it's that call that Bruce already referred to, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, for those of us who are followers of the Lord Jesus, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's to be a way of life that we are conscious of the nature and character of God so that we might fill our minds and hearts with great thoughts of him. You'll notice he's described in three ways. He's described simply as Yahweh, the Lord. That's his covenant name. That's the name he bound himself to Israel. He came to Moses and declared himself to be Israel's God, the God who made himself known by name. And then the next two celebrate him as supreme over all others, the God of gods, the Lord Adonai of Adonai, the supreme, powerful, mighty one. Give thanks, he says, because his loyal love endures forever. The word that's translated steadfast love is just one love, word in Hebrew, but chesed is the way it sounds. And chesed has the idea not simply about love, but steadfast, loyal, unchanging, committed love. It's the nature of God and his love toward us, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. As Paul writes, I am persuaded that neither height nor depth nor angels nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor life nor death and any other created thing shall separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus my Lord. Steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Great is your faithfulness. And those words of Lamentations chapter 3 ought to ring in our hearts as a recognition that our God is steadfast in his love. And if Israel could say it, how much more we can say it? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up freely for us all, how will he not freely with him give us all things? Well, then, having introduced it, he begins to talk about all of the ways in which God's love is manifested. And interestingly, he turns to creation, the God who made the heavens. We give thanks for his wonderful works. To him who alone does great wonders. To him who by understanding made the heavens. To him who spread out the earth over the waters. And we're in Genesis chapter 1. And God calling creation into being. And so we know God as the one who made all things, the creator. And we don't just thank God for that. I don't know whether you had the same reaction that I had this morning as you drove and saw the magnificence of the snow on the mountains. It's our God who did that. The beauty of the absolutely clear blue sky. The stubble grass that had turned green, even though we may have had more rain than we'd like. The blessing of the rain that is going to cause things to flourish. As we drive through our neighborhood, the greenery and all of the blessings of that. Or you go down to the coast and you stand in awe as you watch the waves come in and you see the power of the ocean and the magnificence of that. He's our God, the God who deserves our praise. But he's also the God who made the great lights, the God who made the sun to rule over the day, the moon and the stars to rule at night. And Bruce was telling me he'd spent the night down doing what he loves to do, to fill his mind with the beauty of the stars. And we've all known what it is to walk out and the midst of it, a starry night, or to see the full moon and look with wonder and gratitude and thankfulness to God to that. But the God who is there is a God, the psalm tells us, a God of steadfast love, not remote and distant, but the God who's shown his love to his people. And then he shifts. And he begins to think of the greatest event in Israel's history, the great event by which they came into existence. A slave people, taken captive by the most powerful empire of its time, Pharaoh, ruler over the land which produced the pyramids and all the things we still look in wonder at. And he reminds us to him who struck down the firstborn in Egypt. And all of a sudden, we're in the midst of the great story of the Exodus, of God delivering his people, of Pharaoh and his oldest son lying dead, and Moses having said, "Let my people go." And then God doing what he does, he brought Israel out from among them with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. And all of that retinue of people suddenly being encouraged to go, and then Pharaoh changing his mind and beginning to pursue. And you remember the story, but they tell it simply to him who divided the Red Sea into two and made Israel pass through the middle of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the sea. And all of that which would thrill the nation of Israel and would ought to thrill us in terms of God's power displayed in making them a nation that was the center nation. But when we think of redemption, our thought doesn't go back to Egypt and the Passover. Our thought goes to Christ and the story of Christmas. If the wonder of killing the firstborn as a judgment on Pharaoh, we're going to be in a few weeks thinking about the wonder of God sending his own son and him taking flesh. But the story still ends with the son dying. It was the son of the firstborn that died, but our redemption was at the cost of the death of our Lord Jesus. And as we think about all that happens this week, and as we think about the coming of Christmas, and we get caught up in all of the ceremonial of that, we hear the angelic announcement, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And it's that celebration, that deliverance, that defeat of Satan, that release from sin and penalty that we enjoy as we think about the psalm and think about what God has done. And the psalmist takes another turn. And so in verses 17 to 22, they've traveled 40 years across the desert. Every day God has provided for them. The manna has been there every morning. Protection of God has been with them every morning. But now they're about to try to enter the land. On the far side of the land are strong, powerful kings determined to stop them. Bashan, Og, mere names to us. But it simply says, the Lord struck down great kings and gave their land as a heritage. There's a lot of talk about Israel today. There's a lot of political talk about Jewish people. There's a lot of anti-Semitism that breeds. But God's purpose centers on the nation of Israel. And God protected and guided and led them. He made eternal promises. Romans 9 tells us that one day all Israel will be saved and God will do a work. To say that Israel is a people or the Jewish people are a people under the hand of God is true, but they're under their hand of judgment for what they did to the Lord Jesus at this time. But God has a future for them and a blessing for them, and he will bring them into their blessing, but in a far more significant way for us. The God who brought us into salvation is a God who provides our needs. A God who provided a land for Israel is a God who doesn't say, do your best. He gives his Holy Spirit to live within us. And he gives us strength for the day. He gives us the fellowship of other believers. He gives us his word as truth. And we're to give thanks, for his steadfast love endures forever. And it's manifested in those people sitting around you who are part of God's gift to you, enable you to walk in ways that honor him and lead to paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And he ends, they end. We don't know who wrote the psalm. It is he who remembered us in our lowest state and rescued us from our foes. The God who is present with his people. I don't want to get into this, but it is one of the enduring miracles of history that for all they've gone through, that there exists a Jewish people. And in terms of all the weaknesses of the church, and you read church history, it's only by God's grace that there is such a thing as believers kept by the power of God in the midst of enemy challenges and all of these other things that come at us in different way. There may be a spate of deaths that are ugly and terrible in Nigeria, but God has his hand on his people in Nigeria. The leaders of China may be putting new pressures on believers in that country, but God is watching over his people in China, even now in the midst of all of their challenges and the arrest of significant leaders. And God's hand is on his people in this country. More specifically, it's on you and me. He ends simply with the words, give thanks to the God of heaven for his steadfast love endures forever. Read it 26 times. And yet the wonder of it needs to roll over our soul. The greatest truth that you can think through this Thanksgiving is God loves me and he won't stop even in the midst of my weakness and my sinfulness and my brokenness. He's pledged his love to me because I've trusted in his son. And nothing will separate us, not sickness, not weakness, not sudden emergency trips to the hospital, any of those things. God is for us in Christ. God is with us in Christ. And brothers and sisters, that's something to give thanks for this Thanksgiving season. Enjoy the football. Enjoy the food. Enjoy the family. Enjoy the friends. Put up with the trip. But give thanks to the Lord for his steadfast love endures forever. And every week he asks us to remind ourselves of that. That his steadfast love endures forever. He gave us the symbol to remind us. This is my body given for you. This is my cup given for you. Take heed. My love for you is everlasting. Take it with gratitude. Don't take it with just, that's what we do on Sunday. If you've trusted Christ, he invites you to take these symbols. If you've not, he invites you to something even more. to enjoy his steadfast love that is forever by putting your faith and trust in his Son, our Savior. We're going to sing a familiar song that celebrates the love of God and reminds us of the glory of Christ. And then we'll take the symbols after we've sung Christ's name. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our Savior. Thank you for all that we have in you. Thank you that you are the God of steadfast love, who set his love upon us in Christ. You so loved the church. You gave your Son. And Father, as we take these symbols of your Son, we pray that you would fill our hearts with gratitude to you. In the name of the Savior, we praise. Amen.